This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Salatu wassalam ala rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli muhammadin wa ala sayyidina muhammad. While few of us are still finishing the prayer, if I could request all the youth to come inside the main prayer hall, and sisters can also come to the main prayer hall. One more time. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. We are very honored that Brother Yusha, by the way, he does not want to be called Sheikh Yusha. So I think from here on, inshallah, we're going to call him Brother Yusha. That's what he requested. So he's among us, and as we have announced that it's an opportunity for us to meet him, and he would say a few words, but primarily we want to make it interactive. And the way that we're going to make this interaction, inshallah ta'ala, you will have the card to write your questions.
Are we going to make an open question answer?
I'll take open questions, but the note cards are actually open. I'm going to give them four things to fill out and give them to me.
All right, so the note cards that you will receive, I'm assuming primarily the youth, they will receive. That's okay. Samad bhai, push it back a little bit. The note cards, don't write anything on the note cards. Brother Yusha will have something for you to write, whatever his plans are. He will make us write something. So without any further ado, as I said, this is a great honor. Even though we have two big events going on in the community, Mass have an Eid festival, some kind of program going on, as well as some big wedding going on in the community, but it's a good attendance, mashallah. So inshallah, I'm going to give the mic to Brother Yusha. And we're going to keep it in an organized fashion, the way that he instructs us to do it, inshallah.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How is everyone? Alhamdulillah. You guys all remember that I told you sitting here many times that the affair of the believer is khair. in its entirety. Whether you're having a good day, whether you're having a bad day. For the believer, it's all goodness. So we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the good. We thank Him for the bad. This is part of having shukr for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gratitude is not just being thankful for Allah when He grants you some good. We had a talk here about gratitude. Gratitude, shukr, is not just about being grateful and thankful to Allah when He grants you good. Gratitude is being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when bad comes your way as well. Because you know that Allah's plan is perfect for our lives. We've talked about that here as well. So we thank Allah for all of it. This is the epitome of being a grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I've always told people that if you want more good in your life, then be grateful for what you have in your life right now. If you want your business to be more successful, then have gratitude for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ. That if you're grateful, I'll give you more. This is the clear-cut path of increase according to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when Allah grants you, you thank Him. When He takes from you, you thank Him. Just keep thanking Him. Keep thanking Him. Trust me. The path of gratitude is always a successful path, no matter what. Remember that. It's always a successful path. You thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This doesn't mean you can't get upset. Yeah? We have emotions. We're human beings. We're not toys. We're not robots. You can get upset. You can get angry. You can be sad. All of those emotions, the range of human emotions are all permissible as long as you remember after that to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Grateful to Allah azza wa jal. Because we could be in a much worse condition than we find ourselves in today. This is part of the thing that, you know, kind of upsets me when I see us as an ummah, especially in the West, tearing each other apart. When the ummah is being starved to death as we speak, according to the latest UN study, within the next 20 years, 15 maybe, 10 maybe, the entire population of Yemen may cease to exist. Allahu Akbar. The entire population of Yemen, the people of Yemen, whom the Prophet ﷺ said were blessed people, and that Iman came from Yemen, said that they might cease to exist. Not because they've been destroyed or killed or slaughtered, because of starvation and famine and hunger and thirst. Allahu Akbar. You see what is happening in the people of Asham that are still going through, you know, trials and tribulations. We talked about these things before here and how to view them. Look at the concentration camps that our Uyghur brothers and sisters are being put into, where they're actually being brainwashed now to turn them away from Islam, being forced to drink alcohol in the month of Ramadan, forced to erase their identity and get married to non-Muslims. And all of this stuff is happening all over the world. The Rohingya, the things that they are going through, the what is happening right now in Sudan. SubhanAllah, so much is happening to this ummah, and look at the small things that we look to bicker with each other about. It's absolutely mind-boggling. It's almost as if we live in a bubble that we don't see the rest of the world existing. We live in some little bubble that has this utopian world where we feel like everything should be our way, when not realizing outside of that bubble, the ummah is bleeding, the ummah is suffering. Imagine how they would look at us in our bickerings when they can't even find grass to eat. Allahu Akbar. Allahumma musta'an, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and increase us and grant us iman and safety and security and brotherhood and sisterhood, insha'Allah ta'ala. I want to be very short and sweet because I wanted to make this interactive, insha'Allah ta'ala. Again, after last night, my decision is still up in the air, but I have drawn back a little bit and said I'll give it some thought, insha'Allah. Still going to give it some thought. I still have to do that which is right for myself and my family at the end of the day, but you know, I am also a very logical person at the end of the day. This is kind of a fill-in to what our dear Sheikh Bajour said in the khutbah on Friday, when he spoke about a question, when he said, ثُمَّ هَذَا, then what? What's next? What's next? What's next in your life? Allah Jalla wa Ala asks us a question in the Qur'an, which is a beautiful question that I think our youth need to be in tune to. Because I like to ask our youth this a lot. When I have a chance to speak to a young brother or young sister, I ask them this question as frequently as I can. Allah asks us in Surah Al-Takwir. Allah says, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. So where are you going? فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Where are you headed? Where are you headed? And it's supposed to be, if you look at the prose of the verse, the way it's laid out linguistically, it's almost to catch your attention. The way Allah is talking about Himself, praising Himself, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرُ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Where are you going? This is nothing but a reminder from the Lord of all mankind. As a Muslim, especially as a youth, there are two things that we cannot live without. We cannot function as Muslims, especially as youth, without two things. That is vision and purpose. Vision and purpose define everything about us. Without these two things, we are just like the rest of humanity, wandering aimlessly, just trying to get through each and every single day, seeing what comes next. And nowhere will you find that to be a recipe for success. You have to know where you're headed. You have to know where you're going. So you have to have a vision. And the vision that every believer should have, especially our youth, a vision that every believer should have, especially the youth, the first and foremost of that vision should be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above everything else. To please Allah Jalla wa Ala above all other things. All other things. This needs to be the pinnacle of our vision. What do you want to do with your life? Please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't matter if I end up in a high-ranking field of medicine, as an astrophysicist, if I end up as a street cleaner, whatever it is, my vision of my life, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with everything that I do. And one of my dearest teachers, one of the very first people who taught me about da'wah back in the early 2000s, he also was the catalyst for Sheikh Yusuf Estes to get started in da'wah. He was also the catalyst for Imam Siraj Wahaj to get started in da'wah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him, rahimahullah ta'ala. He unfortunately passed away in Pakistan quite a few years ago. He used to tell me as a young Muslim, Yusha, make sure that everything you do is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know how you can guide that? I said, how? He said, ask yourself, can you say Bismillah before doing it? Ask yourself, can I with a good conscience, say Bismillah before committing this act? If you can, then it's something that is probably pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pursue it. But if you know deep inside, there is no way in my right mind I can say cleanly Bismillah before committing this, he said, stay away from it. It's not beneficial for you and you'll regret it on the Day of Judgment. He said, so remind yourself of that. And then ask yourself, will this deed be pleasing to me when I read it in my book of deeds on the Day of Judgment? When I am standing on the plane of Qiyamah, waiting, watching the scales be brought in front of you, watching the sky crack apart, watching hellfire be brought near, watching Jannah being brought near, watching people run like mad, are you going to be happy with having done that on that day? He said, because trust me, on a day that is like 50,000 years, you will have enough time to recount every single thing you did in your life more than once. You will remember every single act because the angel will bring you your book. And what are you going to do? You're going to start thumbing through it and you're going to have plenty of time to read the whole thing. He said, when you find that page in your book, are you going to be happy with doing what you're about to do? If not, just don't do it. Don't do it. Now, of course, we are not always going to be able to follow that. We're not perfect. Only the malaik are perfect. Only the anbiya were the best of us. We are sinful. I taught you in this masjid, the process of sin with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tawbah. The Prophet, kulli bani Adam khatta, every son of Adam commits sin. Al-khayru khatta'ina atawbubun. But the best of those who sin are those who repent. So when you make a mistake, turn to Allah. He said that should be the vision of the believer, because Allah tells us, indeed in the Messenger of Allah you find uswatun hasana, the best example. We like to say that verse a lot, right? The Messenger of Allah is the best example. But unfortunately, you find this a lot with many verses in the Quran. We will read a verse without reading either the previous verse or the following verse to see that there are stipulations around the verse we just read. That there are catalysts to the very verse we just read. There is a catalyst to the verse of those who will take the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam as uswatun hasana, as an example, a beautiful example. Who are those people? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكْرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Those whose hope is where? Where is their hope? Where is their hope? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? That means that they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before them as if He's there. These are the people of ihsan. The Prophet ﷺ, which is said is the highest level of iman in the hadith of Jibreel, These are people, liman kana yarju Allah. They are people who all, their hope is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They live their life putting their hope and trust in Allah. So they have Allah as the vision in front of them. That they know that this entire life ends with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It began with Allah when He said, be and you were. And it will end when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our life. From Allah to Allah. This is why we say when someone passes away, or it's not just for when someone passes away, when some calamity strikes or when some bad news is given to you, inna lillahi wa inna alayhi raji'un. We come from Allah and we're going back to Allah. So liman kana yarju Allah is reminding us of our purpose, is that we will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal yawm al-akhir. So they remember the last day. They remember the last day. They remember the final day. No matter what's going on in their life, they're not just worried about today, they're thinking about the last day. Because the last day, I've also, I think, spoken about in this masjid, I've been here 6 times, alhamdulillah, that Yawm al-Akhir means the final day. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, a group of Bedouins came to him, and they asked him, "Mata sa'a ya Rasulullah?" When is the hour? Every Prophet was asked this question. When is the hour, O Messenger of Allah? He looked at the group and he pointed to the youngest one amongst them. It was a young kid. He said, if this one grows up to be an old man, all of your hours will have already started. Yawm al-akhir for you is when? The moment you die. The moment you die, your day of judgment begins. You see, that's what we don't comprehend, especially as young people. We see the day of Qiyamah as some far off, you know, some far off thing. This thing could be millions of years away. No. The moment you step out of this earth and enter what is known as the barzakh, the barrier that cuts off this life from the next life, your day of judgment has begun. Your day of judgment has begun. Your soul will be taken out either sweetly and gently, or it will be yanked out. Your soul will ascend to the heavens, and either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it and grant it favor and honor, or He will reject it and say, put it back where it came from, despised and rejected from me. This is the only two options for everyone. When that soul is put back into the ground, with its body, and it's remated with its body, the grave will squeeze it, and then it will either open slightly, and then the door of Jannah will open, and it will say, if you had believed and obeyed Allah, this would be your destination, and it'll be shut, and a door to Jahannam will open and say, because you disbelieve and disobeyed, this is your final destination, and the fire will pour into their grave, the punishment will be brought in, furnishings from Jahannam will be brought into their grave, and their grave will be a piece of Jahannam. The Prophet ﷺ said that the punishment of the people of Jahannam in their graves is so severe that even animals hear it. Even animals hear it. And one time he went to his companions and he told them that he could hear it. He could hear these cries and these screams. He said, I would make dua to Allah that He would allow you to hear the punishment of the people of the grave, but I am afraid if I did so, you would never bury anybody ever again. You would never put anybody in the ground if you heard that. Or that person's soul will be put back in their body, the grave will squeeze them, because it squeezes all of us, it welcomes us back home. It says, yes, you were created from me, now you're back to me. And then it will open up very wide, greatly expand for them. And the door to Jahannam will open, and it will be said to them, had you disbelieved, this would be your final resting place. And it will shut to never be open again. And a door above them to Jannah will open, and it will say, because you believed, and Allah has favored you, this is your final destination. And pieces of their property in Jannah, furnishings from paradise, will be brought into their grave. And a beautiful person will come and sit next to them. A beautiful person will come and sit next to them, and they will say, who are you? Such a beautiful person. And he will respond and say, I am your good deeds, here to keep you company to the day you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then angels will come to them every day, morning and evening, and remind them that the promise of Allah is true. Jannah is for you. The promise of Allah is true. Jannah is for you. And an evil-looking, horrible figure will come and sit next to the people of Jahannam. And they will say, who are you, O despicable-looking, wicked thing? It will say, I am your sa'iyat, I am your sins, your evil deeds, here to keep you company to the day of judgment. And they will be reminded about the punishment of Allah. And there are two calls that are called out by the people of the graves every day. One of them, the people of Jahannam, are asking Allah to never start the day of judgment. Never allow it to happen. Keep us in this condition. We'll take this. And the people of Jannah are yelling and screaming to Allah, أَقِيمَ السَّاءَ يَا اللَّهُ أَقِيمَ السَّاءَ يَا رَبُّ. My Lord, establish the hour. My Lord, establish the hour because I want my reward. That is the reality of this life. And that's why Allah asks us in Surah Al-Takwir, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Where are you going? Because you will end up in one of those two places. There's no third place. There's no fourth place. This is it for the believer. So if you do not have a vision to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your life, if you don't have a vision of akhirah, وَذَكَرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, and they remember Allah greatly, then you not only will not take the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam as an example, because that was his example. The most obedient slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you also will not find yourself in the better of those two places. So this is why Allah Jalla wa Ala asks us, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Then also having a purpose. Having a purpose. Knowing what you want to get out of your life. What is it that you want out of your life? If you want out of your life Jannah, then you have to do the actions of the people of Jannah. You have to work for that. If you want to get a PhD, a doctorate, you have to put in the work. You have to put in the work. You have to study. You have to go to school. You have to put in the hours. You have to make sacrifices. All of that is there. You have to do it for year in, year in, year out, day in, day out. If you want to get a raise in your job and you want to reach the highest echelons of the corporate ladder, you have to put in the hours. You have to put in the work. You have to put in the effort. There has to be a purpose beyond that. Because if not, you're going to be one of those people who are stuck running the rat race, waking up doing the same thing each and every single day, waiting for the angel of death to come and find you. And that's not really a very fulfilling life. The people of purpose are people who can see the end of the race before they start even running it. If you were going to run a race, this is an analogy that I like to use, and I teach this in my da'wah workshops. If you were going to run a race, and I'll end with this, if you're going to run a race, and you show up at the beginning of the race, the starting line, we all show up, and we say, how long is this race? And they say, there's no ending. You just start running. Just run. Okay? A lot of us are just going to be like, no thanks. There's no reason to run this race. It has no purpose. It has no purpose, right? Why am I going to start running when I don't know where I'm running or when I'm going to stop? But those who do start running, they're not going to make it very far. Because when you get tired, what are you going to do? Drop out. That's it. I'm done. There's no end. I'm dropped out. You get a cramp. Your leg starts hurting. Your knee starts hurting. Okay, alhamdulillah, tapped out. There's no purpose to this race. But now if we show up at this race and they say it's 10 miles. 10 miles. And you say, okay, 10 miles. In your head, you've put that there. 10 miles. So you start running. 1 mile, 9 to go. 2 miles, 8 to go. 3 miles, 7 to go. When you get to that 8th mile and you get tired, what are you going to do? You're going to keep pushing. You're going to push through the pain. You're going to push past the tiredness. When you get a cramp, you're just going to block it out mentally and just keep going. When your knees start hurting, you're just going to keep going because you're almost there. You can see the end. You can see the finish line. This is the difference between having a purpose and not having a purpose. Those people who don't have a purpose in their life, when hardship comes to them, they give up. They become depressed. They become despondent. They turn to alcohol. They turn to drugs and crime and all of these things. Why? Because it helps them to bury their minds to a life that has no purpose. To a life that has no purpose. And a lot of them end up suicide. Because if the race has no end, when things get tough, they step out of the race. Literally, step out of the race of life. This is the difference between those who believe and those who do not believe. As believers, we have a purpose. That purpose is paradise. That purpose, the end purpose of all of our lives, inshaAllah ta'ala, is Jannah. May Allah grant us all of it, inshaAllah. Ameen. Firdaus. Ameen. So we will conduct our lives like someone who wants to go to paradise. And if times get hard, we push through them. If we make mistakes and fall out of the race, when we wake up and realize the deviance we've been in or the sin that we've been in, we find our way back to the racetrack, Siratul Mustaqim, and we start going forward again, insha'Allah ta'ala. Our youth, you have to have a purpose. You have to know what it is that you want out of your life. At a very young age, you need to be purpose-driven. You need to be purpose-driven. This is what has allowed
Fortune 500 CEOs to make it in this world is they have a purpose. Do you think Steve Jobs made Apple what it is today without waking up every single morning with a purpose? Without waking up every single morning know what he wanted to do? What did he want to do? He said that he wanted to create technology that made people's lives easier before they even knew that they needed it. That's what he wanted. And he strove hard for it. And he went through difficulties. He went through hardships. He was fired from his own company. Tried to start an alternate company, Nexus, that absolutely turned to nothing. And then came back and turned Apple into one of the biggest companies on the whole entire planet. From a simple purpose that he stuck to. He stuck to it. One simple purpose. Nothing deterred him from it. When we look at the life of our Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, his purpose was to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and share tawheed with the world. That means when they called him a magician, he didn't care. When they called him a soothsayer, he didn't care. When they called him a liar, he didn't care. It hurt him, of course, because he was human. It hurt him. When they threw camel guts on him around the Kaaba, he didn't care. When they threw him out of his own city, he kept going. When they turned away from him in Ta'if, he kept going. When they fought him in the Battle of Badr, he kept going. When they fought him in the Battle of Uhud, he kept going. Then they fought him in the Battle of Khandaq, he kept going, and he kept going, and he kept going. And then at night, he would stand and pray till his feet cracked and bled. And when he was asked why, Allah has already forgiven you your sins, he said it because shouldn't I be a grateful slave? My purpose is to please my Lord. He was a man of vision and a man of purpose, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he inspired those around him to be people of purpose, to be people of purpose, to be people of vision. This is why in a very short amount of time, in one generation after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the Khulafa Rashideen took Islam all over the globe. Took Islam all over the globe, took down the Roman Empire, took down the Persian Empire. Because they were following in the footsteps of a man of great vision and purpose. Look at what they accomplished. I told you the story of Mus'ab ibn Umair, the very young boy who took Islam to Medina before the Prophet, or took Islam to Yathrib, which would then become known as Medina of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He was a man of purpose. He had a reason and a vision. We can accomplish great things if we fine-tune our purpose, if we fine-tune our vision. People ask me, what is my vision? That is my vision, is to give our youth a vision. To give the community a vision. To give you a vision going forward that if all of you were, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tonight said everybody age 40 and above, I'm taking their souls, that this masjid wouldn't turn into an empty building in a week, in a month, in a year. That is my goal, inshaAllah ta'ala, is to have the next tier of ummah ready to go. The next runners in the race ready to take the torch at any moment, at any moment's notice. Ready to pick up that torch and carry on and do better than we were doing. InshaAllah ta'ala. Our goal is not to make our children like us. We want them to be better than us. We want them to be better than us. That is by giving them a vision and a purpose, inshaAllah ta'ala. That is my goal, is to give our youth that definite purpose and vision. But over above everything they want to accomplish in this world, let them know that yes, you can be successful in this world and be a good Muslim. Yes, you can be wealthy in this world and be a good Muslim. You can have all of it. You can have your cake and eat it too. As long as the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the overwhelming factor in your life. Allah can give you everything. Allah is al-ghani. Allah is the one who is rich, who doesn't need. Allah is the one who can say, kun fayakun, be and it is. He can give you the whole world and everything that is in it. If you're worthy of it, He'll hand it to you. He'll open the doors for you. But your vision and your purpose has to be correct. Your vision and your purpose has to be correct. So that is my goal for our youth, inshaAllah ta'ala. Now, I'm going to take some small questions and answers. InshaAllah, let it be about, you know, this whole topic of the youth and going forward, inshaAllah ta'ala. Because even if not, I'm not here and I don't make it here, you know, I want you guys to have a good understanding of where you want to lead your youth, inshaAllah ta'ala. Because it's not just the job of the youth director to lead the youth. SubhanAllah, is one person. One person can only do so much. It is the job, as they say, it's either a very old African proverb or a very old Native American proverb that it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise a child. It takes a community. It's a communal effort. These children, this boy is my son. This is the way we look at this ummah. This boy is my son as well. I should view him and see him as I see my own children. That is the way we should treat each other in this ummah. Your children are my children. My children are your children. I would hope that if something happened to me tomorrow in this community, that you would look after my children, inshallah ta'ala, and my family, because they're your family. That is the type of community that I would like to see you guys develop, inshallah ta'ala. For those of you who are the youth who got the cards, make sure we start handing those out, inshallah ta'ala, please. Everybody that is part of the youth, you consider yourself a youth, make sure you take one of these cards, inshallah. Before tonight, I want all of these cards back. And I want you to put four things on them, inshallah. Four things. Number one, would you like to see me as your youth director? Yes or no? You'll come to find out if I'm here long enough. I'm also a person who's very blunt. Sometimes you just have to be blunt. That's the way things get done. Be straightforward with each other. I've unfortunately learned that we as Muslims, we know how to talk around the bush. We don't talk around the bush, we talk around the forest. You know, we go in circles and circles and circles before we ever get to the point. Be direct, inshallah. Would you like to see me as your youth director? Yes or no? No problem with that. No, on the paper, inshallah ta'ala. On the paper, yes or no? Write four things. 1, 2, 3, 4. Number one, would you like to see me as your youth director? Yes or no? Leave it at that. Number two, and keep it short, don't write paragraphs, and don't write a whole story. In a very short framework, what would you expect from a youth director? What do you expect from a youth director? What are some things that you would expect, whether it's me or anyone else, what are some things that you as the youth would like to see as youth director? Because one of my number one goals, and I told you this when I was announced as the youth director, that one of my number one goals is to give the youth a voice, to give the youth relevance, to give the youth a voice, to be a representative for you, a mouthpiece for you. And it won't be my mouth speaking, it's your mouth, to be a voice for the youth. So what would you like to see out of your youth director? Number three, brothers, sisters, please, let me, so the youth can hear me, inshallah. This is important, extremely important. Number three, what are some programs that the youth are already doing that you would like to see continue? What are some things that you are doing, some programs that the youth are involved in right now that you would like to see continue? And number four, what are some programs that have not yet been instituted that you would like to be instituted, that you would like to see happen, inshallah ta'ala? Because that's the goal. The goal of the job of a youth director is to help guide the youth, to help kind of direct the youth, not really to lord over them and tell you what to do and whatnot. That's not realistically workable for our youth. We need to know what is in your mind. I need to know what is in your head, what you want to see continue, and what you would like to see added, inshallah. So those four things. Number one, would you like to see me personally as your youth director? Yes or no? If it's no, it's fine. No, it's fine. And feel free to comment, positive, negative. Don't care. Number two, what are some things you would expect from a youth director? Number three, what are some programs that you have going right now that you want to see continue? Number four, what are some programs that are not going on right now that you would like to see implemented or instituted, inshallah ta'ala? That makes sense to all you guys? Okay. And before the program is over, before Isha, inshallah ta'ala, make sure you pass those back to the youth representative on the brothers and sisters side, or you can bring them to me directly so that I can have them and I can look them over, bidnillahi ta'ala. Now, I wanted to make this interactive, inshallah. And I don't want to take too long. I want to be able to, you guys enjoy refreshments and pizza and interact. Are there any questions based upon the topic that I discussed today, or you know, the youth programs or outreach programs in general that you would like to see answered by me? Again, I'm on the fence about this thing, but I can still answer these things because I've been thinking about them for quite a few months now, inshallah. Any questions?
Request. I have a lot of ladies texting me. If they would know, they don't know your wife. If she raised her hand, they wanted to introduce herself.
No, my wife wouldn't kill me if I do that. No. Out afterward. Yeah. Okay. Any questions regarding these topics, inshallah ta'ala? Anybody? No? Yes, sister. And please, for this topic, I know you guys all are in school, and your teachers told you a million times, it does not take your mouth to write, right? It does not take your mouth to write. So please just keep that, inshallah ta'ala. Keep it quiet, because it's respectful for the person asking the question, as well as the person answering the question, inshallah. Yes, sister.
In helping my children see the vision more clearly, How do I go about it? Just some basic things, how you started and how you've done it in the past.
Okay, the question was, you know, the two things that I mentioned about giving the youth was vision and purpose. If I'm here, alhamdulillah, fine, I can help institute that. If not, how can parents go about trying to help their children with that, insha'Allah ta'ala? And I think I've touched upon this before here. A lot of it begins with the relationship you have with your children between you and them. Because two things that I want for our children, my own children, is number one, to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know that He loves them, and also to respect and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You understand? In order for them to do that, they must have those attributes with you. Your children must love you, and they must know that they're loved. You know, unfortunately, you know, a lot of us culturally, we have problems expressing affection to our children. For some reason, I'm not sure where we picked this up along the way. This was also part of the culture of the Arabs at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. When he would kiss his children, they would look at him as, why are you doing this? And he would say that if you don't have, I have love and affection, my, he would exemplify that by kissing his children, his grandchildren. He would get off the minbar when he would see Hassan and Hussein in Yawm al-Jum'ah coming towards him. If the Imam did that today, we'd probably think that the whole salah is invalid. He would get off the minbar, walk down, get them, pick them up and bring them up to the minbar with him and pray with them. He showed the love of his children and grandchildren. So we must know, we must teach our children they're loved. Because you know what happens if your children don't find love at home? Brothers, sisters, it's extremely important. If your children don't find love at home, they will look for it elsewhere. And it causes a great deal of problems. If they do not find love and feel loved at home, they will look for it elsewhere. So they need to be able to show love, allow our children to show emotion. Yes, and the boys too, it's fine to be emotional, brothers. There's nothing wrong with having emotions. We are not robots, you know. We are allowed to have emotions, be emotional. So that, as well as there should be some boundaries set for them to know to have respect and fear of those boundaries. That they respect you and know that if they cross certain boundaries, there will be repercussions. Because if you don't teach them to love you and respect you and have fear of you that they see every day, how are you going to teach them to have love, respect and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whom they never see? So that's very important, inshallah. It begins with that bond between the parents and the children, inshallah. That will be the catalyst for them for the rest of their life. I see you, sister. I just want to see if there's a brother real quick, inshallah, then I'll come to you. Is there any brother that has a question? Yes, akhi. Wa alaykum salam. Okay. Absolutely. The question was, the brother is from UT Dallas and he's part of the da'wah program there, and you know, he knows some people that could use some da'wah, inshallah ta'ala. If I were to come as part of the youth and outreach, and I also will end with explaining how I would cooperate with two things, because to me they're kind of one and the same. But anyway, one of my goals as an outreach director, because part of that, what that means is basically a representative of the community reaching out to the broader community. That would be to establish relationships with all the MSAs, the high school MSAs, the collegiate MSAs, and offer the services of myself and the community to them, inshallah ta'ala, to know that you guys are not out there trying to do it alone. Because unfortunately, what happens with a lot of MSAs in America is, you know, you choose an MSA and it's always changing, right? People are graduating, people are leaving, but nobody ever teaches the next ones coming up what. You guys reinvent the wheel every time the MSA changes hands. And that's unfortunate. So one of the things that I want to try to develop with the MSAs is guidebooks and logbooks and things that you can just hand on to the next, you know, board of the MSA or the MSA in general, so that they can know what you've been doing and how to continue to those things and know the resources that you have at hand. Like, hey, EPIC is a very good resource for us for da'wah materials, for da'wah programs, for things that we want to institute here, inshallah ta'ala. You know, EPIC is there for us. All we need to do is make a phone call, send a text or an email, and we have someone. That's what it means about outreach. You know, being able to have that reciprocating relationship with all of the MSAs, college and high school, inshallah ta'ala. Yes, sister. Okay, inshallah. Yes, sister.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I know that this is mostly a youth-centered activity, but I just wanted to say
welcome.
This
is a community, it was a meet and greet. We just wanted the youth to be here, inshallah.
But just wanted to say welcome to you and to your family, to all of our epic masjid. And I'm sure that I speak for a large community of parents that we are very excited about inshallah what you will be able to inshallah bring with you and your family to this ummah, to this community. I really feel that our community will become stronger inshallah, and this will have a ripple effect to the surrounding mosques as well and the surrounding community, so inshallah Dallas can be a stronghold and a positive example for not just for our beautiful state of Texas, but for our country and for the surrounding areas as well. So I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rambling.
No, it's fine.
Wanted to say welcome, and
it's my pleasure.
I hope inshallah you and your family decide to make Dallas your home. And inshallah, we will be very excited and very proud to work alongside you, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. Yes, my wife and daughter are here with me today. They're somewhere around here. But they are here with me today, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, brother. Wa alaikum salam.
My name is Adil. I actually have three daughters, mashallah.
You have three daughters?
Yes.
May Allah bless you. May Allah make them the entry into paradise for you, inshallah.
What my question is that we have great role models, male role models, and leading the youth here, and alhamdulillah. We would like to, from personally as a parent, I would like to see more events or more specific events for sisters, for young sisters. I don't see anything that I can bring my daughters to the mosque. And a lot of things happen after Isha, which is unacceptable for me. It's too late for my daughters.
Okay.
We are in the habit of praying Isha and going to bed.
Right? Yeah.
So I don't see that. So I would like to see, would your charter have anything specific to raise girls as leaders and be involved with the masjid? And because they're also youth, they don't feel like they're part of this masjid that much. And that's my struggle.
That's the things I need to know and find out. What are these things that the youth need to do? What things need to be addressed? Our sisters, subhanAllah, they are the backbone of this ummah. You know what I mean? Like, literally, the sisters are the backbone of this ummah. We do very little without them. Any brother who's been married for a period of time know that your wife is the backbone of your home. You know, I have accomplished very much without my wife and her efforts in the past, decade of my da'wah. Very little I could have done without my wife, subhanAllah. But we need to, empower our sisters, to be able to take leadership roles up in the next generation as well. This is something that needs to be targeted as well. Of course, we have the majority of programs will be for brothers and sisters together. This is across the board. But we also need to have brothers-only programs where we're teaching our young brothers how to grow up and be men. That's something that's very much needed, is some manliness training courses. I spoke about this, I think, when I was announced, inshallah ta'ala. Teach our young brothers how to grow up and be proper men and leaders of their households and leaders of the next generation. The same with our sisters. And this is something that I plan on working with the sisters with, because sometimes it doesn't come so well from a brother. Sometimes it seems very condescending, very misogynist, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we're working with the sisters to find leadership within the sisters the sister community, so we can have some role models and examples for them, inshallah ta'ala. They're out there and they're around. We just need to mold and shape that, inshallah, for our sisters program. Barakallahu fikum. Yes, sisters. Another sister had a question. Anybody have the microphone? Anybody? Going? I think there's a hand over there. There's a hand over that way. Oh, you guys have given me some homework to do. This is exactly what I needed.
Okay, we'll take a brother real quick and then come back to the sisters, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam.
Brother, I have no doubt that you will have, inshallah, great programs for our youth. My question is for the youth who do not come to the masjid. You know, for example, I mean, you probably know that some parents really have struggled with their children for some reason or another. So for those kids, do you have a special program? Do you have a way to approach these?
I actually have some plans. The question was, you know, having programs for the youth that come to the masjid is easy. They're here. What about the youth that don't come to the masjid? How do we get them to the masjid? You know, I would like to be able to lay all that out for you. That's one of the things that I want to say to you. Trust me, I have some very good ideas in mind of programs that actually can get the youth here. They're not going to come mostly for just halaqat. They have to have some incentive to come. And I've worked with enough young brothers around the globe for the past, you know, 10 years to learn some tips and tricks and, you know, things of the nature to get them to come. They might not be coming for the reason they think they're coming for or that we want them to come for, but I'd rather them come for any reason whatsoever. Because if they're here in the building and they're coming for an alternative reason, but they have to listen to a short khatira in order to get that reason that they're coming here for, you never know who might be touched. You never know. All it takes is for them to hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reminders, as Allah jalla wa ala commanded us, remind them, because the reminder benefits the believers. So I have some programs tuned just for that, inshaAllah ta'ala, but they are just ideas in my mind that have to go up the chain of command and, you know, have to be approved and things of that nature. So I'll hold those back, but trust me, there are some certain things I have planned for just for that specific target area of youth that don't come to the masjid, inshaAllah ta'ala. Programs that will happen here and programs that will happen off campus to give them a neutral place to come, inshaAllah ta'ala, and spend time with us. So there are things I've thought of just about that, inshaAllah ta'ala. And part of the plan that I proposed to the masjid before coming was targeted that area specifically, alhamdulillah. So there is a plan for that, inshaAllah ta'ala.
Excuse me?
Yes, sister.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Yusha Evans. I am the secretary of Epic Sisters Committee here.
MashaAllah.
And I'm speaking on behalf of all the sisters, mothers and young girls and boys. All of us here were very excited and happy when we heard that you're joining us. But yesterday we were very sad when we heard that you might not be joining us. I hope you make us happy today by saying that you will join us, inshallah.
Inshallah, after this I will be having a sit-down meeting with the leadership of the masjid, and we'll be mulling over some things. So you'll know in the coming days, inshallah.
I just want to make it clear that that email that was sent out does not represent us.
Yes.
We are actually the opposite of what that email says. Our daughters and sons need you. We strongly believe that they can learn a lot from you. And based on your experience, your background, and your vision, we're really looking forward to growing with you.
Inshallah ta'ala.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Inshallah. We'll take more questions.
Today,
keep going.
Today we don't want to take no for an answer. So please reconsider your decision. Inshallah.
I am reconsidering. I haven't said yes, but I'm on the fence.
Thank you.
Yesterday I was over the fence. Today I'm back on it, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. So I have another sister who teaches a lot of classes here. She would like to say something, inshallah.
Khairan, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Yusha. I'm a mother of two boys, 19 and 15. And like Afreen said, we speak for many when we say that our excitement knew no bounds when we found out that you are going to be joining our epic community. I'm going to quote you. The affair of the believer is khair. Allah's plan is perfect for us. No doubt, as Muslims, we must believe in that. Whatever happened in the past few days, we may not like it, we don't like it, definitely we don't approve of it, but it is from the qada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only Allah knows what khair will come out of it. When we look at the life of Yusuf alayhi salam, he had to be thrown into the well in order to reach Egypt and then become the minister there. So we're positive that the khair is there and we will see it very soon. As Muslims, we also believe in the qada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must believe in that. Regardless of any logic in this world, if you are destined to be part of this epic community, there is no way you will escape us. Inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan.
Khair, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum.
I have a brother one.
You see, hold on. You see the mashallah. The affair of the believer is khair, and the plan of Allah is perfect, and you can't escape us. The sisters use my own words against me that I've used here. That is a very wise thing that you learn, young men, and when you get married, that your wife will use your own words against you. Be careful of what you say. It can and will be used against you. And you can't escape it. So inshallah ta'ala.
Inshallah. Brother, I have one more sister who actually teaches a lot of classes here at APEC. So I'm going to give the mic to her.
Inshallah ta'ala.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Yusha Evans. We would like to welcome you to our community, and like other people said, we are very happy that you are here. And I just want to say this, being a Muslim woman, being a mother, and being an educator in the community, I strongly believe that Muslim women need to understand their responsibility towards themselves, their families, and their communities. And the environment that we are living in, we have to understand the forces that are shaping our community. And I think with your background, with your knowledge, and the work that you have been doing with the youth, not only will you benefit our youth as a youth director, but as an outreach director, you will help the women in the community alongside the men understand that what the environment is all about and how can we use and understand the environment around us to fulfill our responsibilities toward ourselves, our families, and our communities. So like everybody else says, we would like to say that, and we would like to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you that may He change your heart and you feel comfortable in inshallah in joining us inshallah. Inshallah.
One more question and then I'm going to just lay out a small thing inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair.
Barakallahu.
This is my last question because we give the sister 3 or 4 and we didn't have the...
That's fine.
That's okay. That's okay, inshallah. My question is about youth, young men and women who leaves Islam. Many of these kids grow up in the masjid. Many of these kids went to Islamic school. But subhanAllah, at one point they flip, they leave the religion. And I'd like to know what makes someone who, again, grow up in an Islamic environment suddenly change their mind and leave the Islam. And what's sad, they start arguing about the new religion that they're taking. They are in the right path and we as Muslim are in the wrong side. And what can we support parents who lost some of these children? Again, because I know you have, when you talk to these kids, you have to have some expert to deal with these children who leave in Islam. And finally, have you ever experienced such cases and you've been successful to bring these kids back to Islam? Finally, I'd like to remind you, the weather in Minnesota is terrible in the winter. It's in minus 20 for 4 or 5 months in the winter. Here in Texas, it's totally different.
I've been dealing with it for nine winters. The question was about children who, you know, grow up in an Islamic household, go to Islamic school, who end up leaving Islam. What could be the cause of that? And, you know, what are some things we could do to help? And have I been successful in that? I'll just answer the last one first. Yes, we've brought children back to Islam. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. That is not a success of myself whatsoever. Because in reality, we know that the Prophet ﷺ said repeatedly in his khutbat al-hajjah, whomsoever Allah guides cannot be misguided, and whomsoever Allah allows to go astray cannot be guided except but by Him. But always when I dig deeper into these issues, there have been warning signs that have been popping up for a lot longer than the parents let on initially. You know, when I have to dig deeper, these things have... Warning signs have been popping up for a long time now, but the parents have either, you know, played it off, and you know the kids, their minds are, you know, they're going through phases. They find a way to excuse it in some way or some other, thinking, you know, that they're in at my house, they're going to Islamic school, they'll be just fine. There's usually always warning signs that you've missed. you know, or ignored, that should have been dealt with straight away as soon as they popped up. So those are some of the things that we can do with parents, is have some of that training to see these warning signs coming up towards your kids, especially when it comes to like atheism, agnosticism, you know, Darwinism, evolution, you know, there are trigger signs, trigger warnings that we can start teaching the parents to look for and addressing them, you know, way, way before they come out of hand. Because usually a lot of the age that parents bring children to me who have left Islam is like 17, 18. I'm like, whoa, you know, it's a little tougher at that age because they feel like they know everything by then. You know, it's too late because they know everything. I can't tell them anything because the compendium of all knowledge that has ever existed in the history of man is in their brain already. You know, so it's a little bit tougher. Because usually there was warning signs as soon as they were in middle school or as soon as they started high school, 12, 13, 14. If you'd have caught it right then, you probably wouldn't have to bring them to me at 17. But at the end of the day, we know that hidayah, guidance, is with Allah Jalla wa'ala. Sometimes, you know, what we want is not what we get. But we would try to have some, you know, some training classes for parents. That is an area that I would love to deal with, because we are seeing way too many of our youth lose Islam. A lot of it on high school campuses or college campuses. A majority of it due to science. Science. The very knowledge of the creation is being used to deny the Creator. It's like, yeah, it's one of those things where you just want to knock your head. So we will deal with that insha'Allah ta'ala. And part of my goal in outreach is to blend these two things together. To me, I don't see them as two conflicting roles. They blend together. Our youth are the future of outreach. Our youth need to be the one taking up the role of help sharing the message of Islam. As part of outreach, we want to do things like dawah training seminars, where it's not me taking up the entire role of outreach. It's me helping create a team that can do this, insha'Allah ta'ala, that run like a well-oiled machine, whereas if I'm not even here, that machine just keeps running and keeps chugging along. Because any leader who is needed for the organization to continue to run is not a leader. He's not a leader, he's a slave driver. A true leader should have a very well-oiled machine running that it doesn't even notice his absence. If he's not even here for a week, you never even would know, because everything is already set and running. So those things, but also establishing relationships with the churches in the area and the pastors in the area. You know, because I grew up in the church, I know how to speak the lingo and things of that nature. So creating relationships with the church, with the synagogues, with civic leaders, trying to show that EPIC is here to service the community. Helping out with homelessness, helping out with poverty, helping out with drug and crime. All of these things need to become a part of our outreach, to where EPIC makes this community of East Plano better. Better. That people can come to East Plano and know that the reason why East Plano is better now than it was 5 years ago is because of that building called EPIC, called East Plano Islamic Center. That's my goal, insha'Allah ta'ala. For you not to even be able to mention East Plano without mentioning East Plano Islamic Center, insha'Allah ta'ala, and the services that it offers to the community. And lastly, for our youth, if insha'Allah ta'ala I come, I really want to be able to work with you guys. And it's not just about sitting here giving you guys talks. That's not what I want to be about, insha'Allah. It's learning from you guys, learning what you guys are about and want to go, showing you guys that I am still a young man at heart. Don't let these gray hairs on my beard fool you. I'm still a young man at heart. And I heard a lot of our youth are car guys. How many of you like cars, for the boys and the girls? Sisters, you can like cars. You can like cars. Yeah? Who wants to see the first Cars and Coffee at EPIC, insha'Allah ta'ala? Yeah? Khair, insha'Allah. If I'm here, we will have one established, insha'Allah ta'ala. Cars and Coffee at EPIC. And I'll bring my Shelby, insha'Allah. This young brother, I have a question, and then we're wrapping it up. Then he, brother... Okay, insha'Allah. Insha'Allah ta'ala. Khair, insha'Allah. We have a young man who wants to ask a question, then we're going to talk something really quick before Isha about reverts. Reverts. Which is near and dear to my heart, it has to be, because I am myself a revert. Yes, young man.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
I just wanted to ask you about, like, from when you converted to Islam, what was the main, what was the main thing that made you change to Islam?
Hmm.
Because I want to know this, because we as youth, we can implement this in our generation, and even at public school we could show it, if it's like manners or whatever.
Sure.
Knowledge, so more people can join Islam and make a difference in the world.
InshaAllah. The question was, what was the catalyst to make me accept Islam when I reverted to Islam? It kind of is a long story that led up to a certain point. For those of you who haven't seen the video, you can watch, you can go to YouTube and Google, you can go to YouTube and search how the Bible led me to Islam. And if you just want to fast forward to like the last 20 minutes, it's the part from where I accepted Islam. But what made me accept Islam was the verse of the Quran, ذَلِكُ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, that this is the book that has no doubt in it and it is a guidance for mankind. That verse made me want to read the Quran. It made me want to challenge the Quran. It made me want to disprove the Quran. And in order to disprove the book, I had to read it and I had to dig into it and I had to try to find the fault. It was that search to try to disprove the Quran as the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what eventually led me to see that it was the book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day after I finished reading the Quran was the day I accepted Islam in 1998, alhamdulillah. So that always has weight for me, that the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the miracle of Islam. It is the miracle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It is what is the reason why Islam is still relevant for the 21st century, is because we still have the unadulterated Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Kids wanted to read you, that's it. 10 seconds. This kid right here wanted to read you this.
They want me to read this. There's a question. There's no question. I expect support and a voice from a good youth director. No? Yes, I would like you to be our youth director. Inshallah ta'ala. Inshallah ta'ala. Lastly, so we can pray Salatul Isha, inshallah. Yes, the reverts. We want to. Subhanallah. It's upside down. MashaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you guys. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless you guys. This is too much. Too much. You guys know how to twist arms, let me tell you. I should know that I'm in the South. You know, you guys know how to twist arms. If you'd have brought a glass of sweet tea with this, it'd have been all over with. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless you, young men, inshaAllah ta'ala. Again, I'm putting this into serious consideration. May Allah reward all of you, inshaAllah ta'ala. And please forgive me for any shortcomings on my behalf. Know that, you know, at the end of the day, I love this community. I have sincere love for this community, sincere love for the youth. If not, trust me, this decision would have been very easy for me to just say no from the very beginning. But, you know, the love that I have for this community, the feeling that I have when I show up here for Fajr and there's 250 people at the masjid, you know, which is more than Jummah and most places in this country, just, it's a different vibe for me here. And if I wanted to make just an emotional decision, say yeah, sure. You know, but I also have to make a logical decision as a father and a husband, you know, who is responsible for his sheep and his flock. But I'm very, very much reconsidering. Thank you very much, sister, inshaAllah. Okay. The home of reverts. One of the goals that we have for EPIC is to make EPIC an epic center. You know, I see how I threw that in there, an epicenter for reverts in America. Because reverts in America, as was shown last weekend, according to the research, that over 70% of new Muslims leave Islam within the first 3 years. 70%, that means we're losing more than we're gaining. We're losing more than we're gaining. Why? Because we as Muslims are very good at selling our product. We're not good, actually the product is so amazing that it sells itself. But people are buying Islam. What I mean by that, they're accepting Islam. But our customer service is deplorable. It's non-existent. It's horrific. People are buying our product, and then the moment they have a question, there's no customer service. There is no one. That's it. The masjid is locked up. They don't have nothing. We're giving people no help after they accept Islam. So why are they leaving? Because of us. Because of us. Allah Jalla wa Ala is going to ask us about these things. We need to have established protocols in place that are from the beginning when someone takes shahada, even before that, all the way through their integration into the community within the first 3 years, to them being able to be a functional Muslim on their own. And if we do not have a full-fledged program and protocols in place, we are failing the reverts before we even help them take shahada. We need to have that in place, insha'Allah ta'ala. There needs to be brothers and sisters who are on board with that, that are ready to take up that mission of nurturing new Muslims. Because new Muslims come into Islam with so much baggage. So much baggage. I brought so much baggage into Islam, it took me almost, you know, it took me well into my first decade of being a Muslim to learn that I was even dragging this baggage along. Nobody helped me out. I was fumbling along by myself. I don't have any Muslim family. Most of my family is not even around today. You know, most of my family's died. I don't have an older brother. I don't have, you know, cousins to call or talk to. I fumbled around by myself for a decade, you know, trying to figure out my way in this religion. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, Allah put certain people in my place and in my path to help me on that mission. Or Allah knows that I would have been one of those statistics. So we have to make sure that we are not only bringing new Muslims into the fold of the community, but we keep them here. If you guys are giving out, how many shahadas you think happen here every year? 200 a year? 200 a year. Are there 200 new Muslims in this room right now? That's a problem. That's a problem. If there's not at least 150 new Muslims in this room next year, that's a problem. That is your fault. That is the fault of this community. That is the fault of this community. If there are 200 people taking shahada this year, there should be 400 new Muslims at the end of next year, because you should have taken 200 more. And they should have gone out and brought more people. That's the way Islam grew. That's the way Islam spread. This was the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. This is how the companions became who they were, the greatest of generation, and spread and became such a huge nation. We're failing in that. We're having to immigrate our communities. We're having to literally immigrate our communities to fill our masajid. How long is that going to last? If Trump gets another 4 years, might be all over and done with. But you get what I'm saying. We need to start keeping these new Muslims around. That's by we have to make them feel like this is a home for them. They need to made to be feel welcome. They need to be made to feel part of the community, not just if they become a Desi or if they become an Arab. No, we need to make them feel part of the community exactly how they are, with their identity as an American, as a Reaver, as whatever they are. Whatever they are. White, African American, Hispanic, Latino, whatever they are, we need to be accepting of them. We need to stop expecting them to be perfect Muslims the moment they walk through the door. Subhanallah, we've been Muslims, most of us, our whole lives, and we're not perfect Muslims yet. We're expecting Rome to be built in a day. As soon as they enter in the door and they say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu Muhammad Rasulullah, we hit them over the head with the fatwa books. Bam, here's the halal and haram. Assalamu alaikum, see you next Friday. It doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. So we need to be receptive of that, inshallah. And we need to be caring about them. We need to know their problems. If someone accepts Islam, we need to know what they're going to face when they walk out of the door today and go home and tell the people where they came from that they're a Muslim. Are you going to have any problems? Are you going to have a housing issue? Are you going to have a financial issue? Are you going to have a safety issue? You know, are you married? Is that going to cause... All of this stuff we need to know. If not, we're just sending them out there with no idea what they're doing with themselves, and it becomes overwhelming, and they say, you know what, this is just easier just to leave this thing alone. Most of, and one of the polls that wasn't shown, is that if you do an exit poll, we did exit polls years ago, about people who have left Islam, most of them still believe in Islam. They've just left the practice of Islam. They've left the practice because it was too confusing, too difficult, too hard. No one helped them. They will still tell you, yes, I still believe la ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah. I just can't keep up with it because we haven't helped them. So we want to make EPIC, insha'Allah ta'ala, the home of reverts. That every community throughout America, if they want to know how to deal with reverts, we need to get on the phone to EPIC and find out what they're doing, because in the past 3 years, they have 500 new Muslims that are still in their community that are like, you know, half of Jummah population now. So we need to find out what EPIC is doing, inshallah. That's what we want to do with reverts, inshallah. And then be able to make them the next leaders of da'wah. Make them the next leaders of da'wah. They make amazing da'is. If you look around the world today, and please do not take this as praise on myself. I'll finish with this. Please, please. Anyone who knows me knows that I do not like praise whatsoever. I refuse to be called sheikh. I don't like none of that. None of that. I'm brother Yusha. There's another person like you. But if you look around the world today, the most well-known global du'at, the majority of them are reverts. The majority of them reverts. Like people like Sheikh Yusuf Estes, Abdul Rahim Green, Yusuf Chambers. You know, people that came from batil, came from misguidance into guidance. When they see and realize that and know what it's like to be in that sickness, in that darkness, in that devastation and depravity, they are more concerned about the people who are there now, that look like them, that were raised like them, that grew up with them. So they have some concern. So if we can raise some of those new reverts to go out and go back into their communities that they were born and raised in to call the message of Islam, you could have 1,000 reverts in this community in the next 5 years. It's not impossible. It's absolutely 100% possible. We just have to put in the work, do good with sales, do good with customer service, insha'Allah ta'ala. Jazakallahu khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you, insha'Allah. I look forward to seeing you guys around, insha'Allah. Insha'Allah, this will not be the last time you have me here, insha'Allah. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallahu khairan. Very quickly, we'll have some snacks and tea in the multipurpose hall, both in the brother and sister side, insha'Allah ta'ala. And inshallah, we'll have the azan for the show. Jazakallahu khairan, shaykh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله استووا أقيموا صفوفكم واعتدلوا straighten up the lines fill in the gaps الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. ما أصاب من مصيبة إلا بإذن الله ومن يؤمن بالله يهد قلبه والله بكل شيء عليم وأطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول فإن توليتم فإنما على رسولنا البلاغ المبين الله لا إله إلا هو وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن من أزواجكم وأولادكم عدوا لكم فاحذروهم وإن تعفوا وتصفحوا وتغفروا فإن الله غفور رحيم إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة والله عنده أجر عظيم فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم واسمعوا وأطيعوا وأنفقوا خيرا لأنفسكم ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون إن تقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا يضاعفه لكم ويغفر لكم والله شكور حليم عالم الغيب والشهادة العزيز الحكيم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
الضالين آمين. فلا أقسم بالخنس الجوار الكنس والليل إذا عسعس والصبح إذا تنفس إنه لقول رسول كريم ذي قوة عند ذي العرش مكين مطاع ثم أمين وما صاحبكم بمجنون ولقد رآه بالأفق المبين وما هو على الغيب بضنين وما هو بقول شيطان رجيم فأين تذهبون إن هو إلا ذكر للعالمين لمن شاء منكم أن يستقيم وما تشاءون إلا أن يشاء الله رب العالمين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. اللهم أنت السلام عليك السلام.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. I've been told that the latest list for the EPIC membership have been published on the wall. My understanding, this could be Kashibai. This is as of all the way to the today. Okay, so as of today, anyone who have signed up for the membership, your name should be on the list. If for some reason, if your name is not there, you are encouraged to go to the EPIC website and sign up for the membership, please. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have missed the program that we have, interactive program with Brother Yusha, it was a mashallah, it was a well attended program from Maghrib to Isha. He's still here if you have any question, but inshallah we'll be meeting him in closed doors. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.